Fall in!
All but 8 companies of the regiment were forming the skirmish line. To the left of them was a wheat field, which was full of rebel sharpshooters. And the woods in front was likewise full of them. While they were advancing, General von Gilsa took his position in the rear of the skirmish line, about 50 yards in advance of David. He could hear him giving orders to the skirmishers. The general shouted,
"Do not shoot unless you see something to shoot at. Ammunition is money, so do not waste it."
Just at this time, the bullets commenced to whistle, and some of the boys on the skirmish line were trying to dodge them. The general told the boys,
"Never mind those that whistle. As long as they're not whistling Dixie, you are all right."
The skirmishers cleaned the rebels out of the wheat field in short order. David and his men followed up the skirmishers to clear out the woods. And there they deployed right and left in line of battle. They advanced about 5 rods into the woods where they got into position. Then more sidesteps to the right to stretch the men out and cover more ground till the line was not any more than a single one. The woods were so thick and the men so far apart, it was hard to see the next man on either side. Off to his left, David heard the familiar snap of dry brush breaking. He could tell by the sound it was not a small animal approaching, but it was the footsteps of a man. The light through the trees cast little shadows moving around as if everything was alive. It was very hard to tell the real from the imagination.
There.
David listened hard and thought he heard it again. Then he did. He had learned while deer hunting, if you hear something moving in the woods, stand still and don't move. There was a little chill in the air, and David could see his own breath and wondered if anybody else could. He slowly turned his eyes, then his head towards the sound. Something was moving through the woods, and it was a Confederate soldier. He must have just noticed David because he turned and fired directly at him. David immediately returned fire, and he saw the rebel drop his gun and fall backwards to the ground. Both soldiers understood that this was a war to the death, and there was no room in this war for either hesitation or pity before pulling the trigger. The shots echoed throughout the woods, and just as quick, it became deathly quiet again. David had shot at the enemy many times before, but this was different. He had seen men die before, even his close friends. This was different. He had witnessed the awful effect of artillery raining down death on many soldiers all at one time. But this was different. His heart was racing and he broke out into a cold sweat. His mouth was so dry he could barely swallow or speak. His whole body felt like lead and he could not move. What had he done? He was trained to fight and kill the enemy. The rebels were killing his comrades all around him. David knew he never felt this way before, and he also knew he never wanted to feel this way ever again. The force of a mini ball or piece of shell striking any solid portion of a person is astonishing. It comes like a blow from a sledgehammer. And the recipient finds himself sprawling on the ground before he is conscious of being hit. Then he feels about for the wound, the benumbing blow deadening sensation for a few moments. Unless struck in the head or about the heart, men mortally wounded live some time, often in great pain, and toss about upon the ground. Now David found himself walking slowly towards his kill. He was no longer concerned about being quiet or careful as he advanced directly to the very spot where the man lay. One shot was all it took, and the man was dead. But David was not proud of his marksmanship or with his kill shot. He remembered when you are deer hunting, it is always best to have a good kill shot to the heart to bring the animal down immediately so that they do not suffer. But he could see from the expression still on the man's face that he did suffer greatly. The young soldier's last efforts had been to tear apart his clothing to see how bad he was wounded. David threw down his gun and got sick. He felt too hot and almost passed out right there on top of the dead soldier. It took several minutes and a few deep breaths before he got his battle wits back together. Then he realized that he was not in a safe place and he had to get out of there right now after firing his weapon. Anyone around, friend or foe, would know right where he was and they would be looking for him. David looked back down at the soldier lying lifeless in front of him. He somewhat expected the dead man to rise up and keep on playing war like they did when he was young. But this game was real, hard to take, and impossible to win. Seeing what he could use from the dead man, he took it. Canteen, ammo, and he felt something like a book in the rebel's vest pocket. Books were not always just for reading during the war. They had another important use other than that. Toilet paper. All the soldiers on both sides searched the bodies of the dead and took anything that was usable. David had done this too many times before. This time he felt a little numb as he went through the motions, and then he found it. From the vest pocket of the dead Confederate soldier, he removed a small silver case. As he was looking at it, it popped open, revealing that it held a tintype pitcher. It was a small tintype, like the ones that you could get from a vendor at a fair or on a street in town. David took a close look at the picture. It was of a group of young children. He reached into his shirt pocket and felt his tintype picture. But he did not need to pull it out and look at it. It was the same one. Then he knew. The man lying at his feet was his cousin. Now he saw the scar on the right side of his face, left there from the broken stick. He could see that the young boy Chunky and him used to play war with had put on real soldier's clothes and become a man. Now he was a dead man. And David had killed him. When they were children playing war, he would just get up from playing dead, but not this time.